and welcome to this episode of Flickering Dreams. This is episode number 73, and it is our weekly cinema cafe episode. And joining me are the usual Fab Three plus me, Emma Sewell of Emma at the Movies on X/Twitter/wherever, Andy Godfrey from Sorted Magazine and Connect Radio with a K, and Scott Forbes from the Forbes Film and TV Review on Facebook. And we've got the usual stuff in this episode. We take a look at some of the other films we haven't done as special features this week. We have our film quiz, which you could play along with at home. We've got our top 10 at the box office. And we look at some of the films which are coming out in the next week. So let's just start with some of those films which we didn't get to feature. I should say the films that you can find us reviewing as special editions are Monkey Man with Dev Patel, The Trouble with Jessica, a new black British comedy, and Scoop on Netflix, the film about the Prince Andrew Emily Maitlis interview on Newsnight. Any others we've seen? Andy, I believe you and Emma have both seen a film called Seize Them.
No, I sadly didn't get to see this one. It's not showing at my Cineworld, and I had a feeling that while I would probably enjoy it, I wouldn't want to spend £12 on it at Showcase.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've noted that down. You have seen it. I've got a little clip to show. Here's a little clip from Seize Them. Seize Them!
When I was a girl, I watched my father punish traitors. He would cleave off their arms and shove them up their arses.
That's nice.
And then he would cleave off their arses and shove those up whatever remained.
Greetings, peasant!
Your queen needs clothes.
My name is Bobbick.
We'll walk to Fingerstone Rock to find new soldiers for the queen.
You're going to need a horse.
They all died.
A dragon, then?
Yeah, they're not real.
Cut off.
I have to say the trailer made me laugh, Andy. Is this made by the same guys as Horrible Histories?
Exactly. This is a Horrible Histories production, except right. that it's a 15 certificate because of language and also because of an excessive amount of gore. Now, I did laugh all the way through. This is a 15 certificate, but it smashed the 6 laugh test. Nick Frost plays the ultimate shit spreader, and that's his job. And we have a queen who's been dethroned, and she's heading to the coast to meet with cousins who she hopes is going to help her get her country back. It's a little bit uneven. It's not hilariously funny all the way through. There are moments when you just think, oh, get on with it. It's a little bit Monty Python in that there's some animation in there to illustrate a chase that's happening rather than seeing the chase as animated characters being chased. It is very, very funny. It's very sharp, but it is a bit uneven. I wonder if they would have got more bums on seats if they had actually gone for a 12A using the same story and the same characters, to be honest, because we know kids love Horrible Histories. We know Horrible Histories is a big success, but nobody under the age of 15 legally can go in and see this. And I just wonder if they haven't shot themselves in the foot financially by not. You know, they've tried to make a Horrible History for adults, as it were, but I think that they might have had more appeal if they'd gone for a 12A. As it is what it is. I enjoyed it. I laughed out loud more than 6 times, mostly at the Nick Frost character. I mean, that great line about not believing dragons don't exist that you've just seen in the trailer. Very funny. Very typical of the script. So overall, it was a 7 out of 10 from me.
Okay. The lead character there was played by Amy Lou Wood. I was struggling to remember where I'd seen her. And, of course, she was the tea-serving girl in that Bill Nighy film from a couple of years ago, Living, wasn't it?
Oh, of course she was. That's right. Yes.
I mean, that was where I was looking at that trailer thinking, where have I seen her before? I just had to look her up.
She plays the Wicked Queen of the West and basically finds some sort of redemption as the story proceeds. But it's all, the story's all pretty obvious, but the fun is to be had in the one-liners, and particularly in Nick Frost's delivery of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember recently on another flight, I can't remember where I was going, I put on the Horrible Histories Roman film from a couple of years ago. And yes. I have to say, I laughed like a drain through most of that.
I think you would laugh like a drain through this, but I do just wonder if in terms of going for a slightly more adult audience, they could have told the same story with the same set of characters with a lot of the same jokes. If they just toned it down a bit, they might have got a wider audience, particularly as it came out during the Easter holidays. That's my only observation. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Another film which, I think I'm right now in saying that Emma and Andy, you've seen this week, is The First Omen. Here's a clip of that. What did you make of this one, Andy?
I love the Omen films. I'm always interested as a reverend to see what Hollywood does with the Book of Revelation. This one has got nothing whatsoever to do with the Book of Revelation. This is a prequel. We basically get the questions answered as to the circumstances of Damien's birth from the First Omen film, and it leads directly at the end into the start of The First Omen. Stupid title. Absolutely unbelievably stupid title. They could have called this Omen Origins. You know, Omen the Beginning. Yeah, exactly. Stupid title. It's fine. It is exactly the same plot as Immaculate. Somebody was looking over somebody's shoulder and copying during the exam because they have written down the same answers. It is the same. I mean, really, except this one's got an Omen twist. There's a couple of shots. There's one death in particular that really relates back to the first the First Omen, the original Omen.
The first Omen.
And there's one death that relates back to that. I missed the Jerry Goldsmith chanting Latin score from the first film, which really was the scariest thing about the first film, that score.
Yeah, I agree.
You listen to that in isolation, as I've done, on your own on a dark night. That score is just chilling. The Jerry Owen score. I enjoyed it, but it is Immaculate too.
Okay.
It's nice to get questions answered that I've been asking since 1976, when the first one came out. Emma?
Yeah, everyone that's asked me, it tends to be a thing at work at lunch, that, like, everyone will go, say, what did you watch at the weekend? What's good? I was like, I watched Immaculate 2, The First Omen. And they looked at me as if I'd gone crazy. And I was like, if you went and saw the other one last week when I told you about it, this one's better. I was so confused at the beginning because genuinely they're exactly the same. But as I say, in my opinion, this one is much better than Immaculate was. The only thing I would say is that I really didn't think Bill Nighy was the one to choose for this film.
Bill Nighy's in this, is he?
Bill Nighy plays a priest with a very interesting view on religion and life and the church and the apocalypse.
But he's just Bill Nighy about it.
You realise this is the second week in a row where we've brought up Bill Nighy as being miscast in a film, so... Yeah, I think the first one was the beautiful game from last week.
Yeah. He clearly needs some money.
Yeah, I genuinely, although, it wasn't one of my favourite films ever, but the only really down point to this, I thought, was his casting. And I think just because you're so familiar with him and the fact that he just acts in exactly the same way, which works in a lot of the other films he does, it just really put me off. Yeah, apart from that, I really did enjoy this one. Thought it was really nicely done.
Good. Okay. Scores out of 10 from both of you. We haven't done a proper review, but we might as well.
Go on, Emma.
So I 7.
I mean, I'm giving this a 7 as well. I enjoyed Immaculate more, so it's really interesting, isn't it? Bearing in mind, I'm a massive fan of the First Omen film. I gave it a 7. Yeah.
Right. So that's a 7.0 borderline. Borderline hit.
What, right. Well, I will, and I really need to share this bit of information. So obviously, went to see it. Quite a lot of people there. On the way out, there was a couple of women who'd been sitting just like slightly further across in the screen coming out behind us. And one of them went, well, I don't understand why they're called the Kid Damien. I was like, what? And I thought I misheard.
Sorry,
it. And
what?
Then I generally thought, no, that's not what she said. And then she reiterated it again to her friend. And I walked out. I was like, don't say anything. Just keep your mouth shut and just leave.
I would have. Because the kid in the first omen, the Antichrist, is called Damien. And this is about the birth of Damien. What?
Maybe she's never seen it. Maybe she's never seen it. Okay.
I mean, even I haven't seen the first one.
Oh, you need to see the first one.
And I know the kid's name is Damien.
Have you seen the remake, Emma? Because they did a remake of the first one, a shot-for-shot remake 2 years ago. But you don't do need to see the first one. It's a horror classic. What happens
Gregory
to Patrick? Gregory Peck. What happens to whose picture is in this film? You see Gregory Peck's photograph in this film. What happens to Patrick Troughton in the first film? You'd love it, Emma. he really gets the point.
He does get the point. Yeah, almost a hot fuzz moment.
Yes. You need to see the first one, Emma. I'll bite you for Christmas.
Okay. The only other film here I've got written down that somebody else has seen this week is Megamind versus the Doom Syndicate that Emma raised, which I almost daren't ask where you saw this, or indeed why.
So many questions came up because of this film. It must have hit Now Cinema, I think, so Sky. And I was like, oh, another sequel. Well, I liked the first Megamind, kind of. it's trash. It's so much trash.
Say no more. Let's pass it by. Let's erase it from history.
You could do. There's so much bad CGI that just one delete button away from saving the world.
Good. Right, let's jump into our film quiz then. And we go after this. Yeah, we do. It's the law. So we're going to do our film quiz. And this is the dialogue schmialogue version of it, where what I'm going to do is I'm going to give five lines of dialogue from a film. The film is in the top 1,000 box office films of all time. And you have to try and guess, before we get to the last one, which film it is. I have taken a little bit of pity on you in this edition. Thanks. In that, as well as giving you the line of dialogue, I'm also giving you the actor who says that line of dialogue. So there's a little bit more information in this version.
I mean, that just makes me feel like it's even more difficult.
Yeah, it won't help at all.
For why? Right. Okay.
My mind goes to mush.
So let me share my screen. And so here comes the first one. And there is no penalty for a wrong answer in this version.
Oh, thank God.
You can write down five different films if you want to, and we'll take the top one that's correct or not. So for those listening on audio, the line one is, who are we? Are we simply what others want us to be? Are we destined to a fate beyond our control, or can we evolve, become something more? And that was spoken by Sophie Turner.
I've written an answer down. I don't feel it's right.
Because I've only got one screen. I can't see your faces this week. So, okay. I'm going to go on to line two. Here it comes. Jessica Chastain says, this truly is an unfortunate development. Scott Shepherd says, why? Why is that? And Jessica Chastain says, it's so much easier to understand your language when you're not screaming. Does that help at all?
No.
Okay.
Loving that you've got the actors, Bob, because I think I got this in the first one.
Right.
Damn Even it. If I don't know the quotes.
Okay. Well, we'll see. And here comes line number three. You're always sorry, Charles, and there's always a speech, but nobody cares anymore. Michael Fassbender. Are you still confident, Scott?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's very confident. How about you, Andy?
I'm veering between two.
Okay. Here comes line number four. And by the way, the woman are always saving the men around here. You might want to think about changing the name to ex-women. Jennifer Lawrence.
Well, I'm in the right ballpark.
Right.
Right. You're the in. Right franchise.
The right franchise. Well, I think I kind of gave it away there. Okay. And the final line, your final clue. Line five, that's not what Raven would have wanted. You know that. You both do. And that was said by Ty Sheridan.
Oh, which one do I go for?
Okay. Have you written an yeah. answer down, Addy?
I've written two down. I've written one okay. down after the first. I wrote one down after the first one.
Okay.
And I wrote one down at number three.
Okay. And are you ready to reveal the answer? Are you all done? I can't see.
Go for yeah. it.
I'm going to go X-Men. And not X-Men Apocalypse, which it probably will turn out to be.
Okay. And the answer is X-Men Dark Phoenix.
The Phoenix.
Yeah. I guessed it on one.
And that's number 670 in
I'm
the.
I'm really surprised. Like, I wrote that down and genuinely thought everyone hated it so much that it was not
going yeah, that's to be why I didn't go for that one.
Always the way.
Whichever one I wrote down was going to be the wrong one. But I couldn't believe that Dark Phoenix would rank quite as high as that. I just thought nobody would see
it.
It
wasn't as bad as people bad. Think.
Yeah. Yeah, I did really enjoy it.
Okay, let's
I'll be honest,
move on
I don't really
and
remember
take a look
I've got to be honest.
While we're still in presentation mode of the box office top 10 for this week. So this is up to the 8th of April and still at number one, second week on release, it's Kung Fu Panda 4, which I think, Emma, you're the only one who's actually seen this. I don't think you in. Last week's show.
No. It wasn't good. It was not good. But I will say that everyone at work, again, sat down and had that conversation, and they were all like, oh, yeah, Kung Fu Panda 4. They all went and saw it.
There you are. Well, the kids
Since
clearly
I,
like
I've
it.
I've seen it, and they're all but, like, you're wrong, Emma. It's so good.
2 weeks in the chart. Excuse me, it's nearly made £13 million.
Indeed.
£10 million of that got put on last week, so it's fallen like a stone this week, I have to say, but it's still made it to number one. Number two, Godzilla X Kong. Godzilla multiplied by Kong equals the new empire. Again, that's made over £9 million in its 2 weeks. And number three, we've got Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. So that's two films with Empire in the title within one place of each other. Again, we were not mad keen on Ghostbusters, I have to say, overall.
Speak for yourself.
Yes, speak for yourself. Yeah, I knew you'd say that, Emma. That's made over $12 million. And number four, still doing good business, is Dune Part 2. Over £36 million. We definitely rated Dune Part 2. And number five is the film that we reviewed this week, which was Monkey Man with Dev Patel. Number six is a film we mentioned a few minutes ago, The First Omen, curiously at the Walt Disney Studio. But that's his first week in the chart, over £500,000. And number seven, still in the charts, 10 weeks in the chart, is Migration, the DreamWorks animation.
Why?
And that's nearly £21 million. The kids clearly
loving it.
Because
they keep screening it.
Yeah. Struggling in at number eight is that film we also talked about a bit earlier, Seize Them, with an exclamation mark. I love films with exclamation marks in the title. We should do a special on films with exclamation marks in the title.
Mother!
Hail Caesar! Yeah. That's only made 132K at the box office. I think, as you were saying, Andy, if that had been a 12, that might have done more business during the holidays.
Yeah.
And number nine, still doing good business, is Wicked Little Letters with a sweary Olivia Colman. That's made over £9 million at the box office. And at number 10 is a Walt Disney re-release. Well, I say re-release, it's never had a release on the big screen because it's a lockdown film from Disney, but that's Luca, and that crawls in at the number 10 position. So that's our top 10 for this week. Just looking at the new films coming out this week, Andy is about to rush off and see one of those, which is Civil War.
Civil War. And I, unfortunately, without thinking, in a very senior moment, I booked it in 4DX. But I have to be on the radio at 9 o'clock on Friday morning reviewing it. So
let me get you ready for it. Here it comes.
We've had enough shaky camera work tonight, Bob. We've had enough shaky camera work tonight to last a lifetime. I'm not really looking forward to the 4DX, but I am looking forward to the film because I do like Alex Garland's stuff.
I do as well.
I think he's an excellent writer, excellent director, brilliant filmmaker. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm jealous of your ability to see that because it's going to be a couple of weeks before I can get to see it. But this is one of the ones
There's been a couple of early screenings. I mean, it's out as from Friday, but I say, I need to review it on the radio in the morning. So this was the only chance I had to go and see it. Yeah.
Okie dokie. Also out this week, I think it opens tomorrow. So today, when this podcast will be released, is Back to Black, which I've seen quite a bit of hatred on Twitter, or X as it's called now, for this film. But it's basically a biopic, of her name's gone completely. Amy Winehouse. Yes. But I thought from the trailer this looked a good one. So
Have you seen the documentary, Amy?
Yeah.
It came out a few years ago. I mean, that was...
No, I never did. No.
That's fantastic. No. The documentary. I remember seeing that and sitting in my cinema seat and crying all through the end credits.
Right.
Of Amy. Yeah. What a waste of a life and an incredible talent.
Indeed.
The documentary is deeply moving. So it'd be interesting to see. I think a lot of her fans have complained about the casting of this one and that the voice isn't right.
Yeah.
That's been the main complaint about this.
Yeah, I think the girl does all her own singing in the role, doesn't she? Rather than using backing tracks that was the take with the recent Bob Marley film. So,
but then Taron Egerton did all his own singing in Rocket Man, and Rami Malek did his own singing in Bohemian Rhapsody. They're not trying to imitate, they're just portraying the person, I think.
Yeah. And from the trailer,
I could go on a whole rant about this. Let's not.
Okay. Let's rant about it when we've seen the film. All right. So any other business? I think, Scott, you saw that the Oscars have got a date for next year.
Yeah, so Andy's favourite subject.
It's my favourite night of the year. I get to go to bed really early.
Get a great night's sleep. Next year's, the Oscars for 2025 have been announced as Sunday the 2nd of March. So one we can put in our diaries to get the night off work, or the day off work the next day, maybe. a couple other bits of news that I've noticed this week. One is that Margot Robbie's company is going to produce a film about Monopoly. Again, when Barbie was announced, no idea what this is going to be, but I'm curious already.
Love it. So many good ideas.
Could be any,
I bet it'll be an American Monopoly and not the London one, or the Star Wars Monopoly.
There's so many versions. Surely they've got a good classic, don't they?
Star Wars Monopoly. Now we're talking. Hang on. This is getting better.
That's a danger, isn't it? That's a danger. Yeah.
And last little bit of news that I actually saw while we were filming this today, loosely film related, but star of The Naked Gun and Towering Inferno, O.J. Simpson, has passed away today after a battle with cancer.
Yeah, I did see that.
Two great films.
Anything more needs to be said, but he was in movies, and I thought it was worth mentioning.
No, that's well worth mentioning, yes. Yeah. Any other ARB from anybody else? Or can Andy rush off and get his popcorn that's going to get shaken out of his box?
I don't like popcorn anyway.
Good man. Okay, just,
We can all... I was just going to say, I'm seeing it tomorrow. We can all, you know, watch another film that really feels like it could come true, and I don't like it.
Oh, yeah. That's true. That's true.
I can genuinely see some of these apocalyptic films.
Yeah.
Emma's going to go up and watch the first Omen on Disney Plus.
I will watch the first Omen on Disney Plus. I promise.
There you go. Okay, guys. Thanks for joining, and we will see you again next week for some more Flickering Dreams. Don't forget to subscribe and like this podcast, and we'll see you soon. Thanks very much.
Thank you so much for listening or watching Flickering Dreams. You can find the video version on YouTube and the audio version on all major podcast platforms. And don't forget to subscribe so you can get each of the weekly episodes as they are released. We'll see you at the movies.
Cut!